You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hi, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 125. On today's episode, we kayak through the Honey Island Swamp, about 45 minutes from downtown New Orleans. Before we get there, though, I want to tell you about the last episode. It was a fun discussion with Tulane professor Oliver Hawk about the Mississippi River Batcher. Oliver and I discussed his book on the topic, and he told several funny stories about his experiences with the Batcher, the Army Corps of Engineers, and much more. He was a really terrific guest, just a lot of fun. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Today's show is sponsored by our friends at Workplace Solutions. Are you still working from home? Are you using the kitchen table as an office? When you're ready to improve your situation, reach out to Paul and the team. They'll help you design a home office that's functional, stylish, and comfortable. They can help whether you need those pieces for a home office or help redoing an entire office to accommodate the whole workforce, given the new reality in a COVID environment. At Workplace Solutions, they partner with Steelcase, Microsoft, and others to provide the best possible solutions. I absolutely love my Steelcase sit-stand desk. Whatever you need, let the team at Workplace Solutions help you out and tell them I sent you. By the way, congrats to one of our Facebook crew members, Christian, who recently moved from across the country to New Orleans and took a job at Workplace Solutions. With that, let's jump into today's discussion. Hey, y'all. Welcome back. I am joined by Jessica Golly and a host of friends. We just got back from a kayak tour in the Honey Island Swamp, and we're going to talk all about that. We might even mention what it's like to be together as a group post-COVID or in a COVID environment. So, Jessica, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on here. It was a lot of fun today. For the listeners, we got out on the Honey Island Swamp or in the Honey Island Swamp on a bunch of kayaks. We were joined by Matt May, who people may remember from an early episode about canoe and trail, not canoe and kayak, what I usually say, but canoe and trail. And today we're going to talk about the Honey Island Swamp and maybe what's different from Cane Bayou, but just the experience of being out here. We are also joined by a couple of artists who came along with us today. So I am so happy to have Chanel from Haunted Cypress Studios and Sarah, we're playing with the microphone, Sarah Megan Jenkins Art. So thank you all very much for being with us. You may or may not hear their voices, but we are going to link in the show notes today to their website so you can check out their beautiful art and hopefully find something that moves you. So, Honey Island, let's first start with kind of getting people acquainted geographically. Where are we?
So, we are in the Honey Island Swamp in a small town called Pearl River, Louisiana. We're located roughly 35 to 45 minutes north of New Orleans.
So, you would go across Lake Pontchartrain through Slidell to get here?
Yes, you go through New Orleans East, over Lake Pontchartrain, over the 7 mile bridge. We call it the Twin Span. Through a city called Slidell, and then out into the country in Pearl River.
So, yeah, 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic, to get out here. And let's talk a little bit about what is the Honey Island Swamp? How big is it? What is the Honey Island Swamp?
So, the Honey Island Swamp is actually pretty big geographically. It's 108 square miles. It is basically the border between Louisiana and Mississippi. It is a wetland where no one can live, but we are allowed to recreate in the area. And it is a true swamp. So a swamp is a geographical landmass that includes trees such as cypress trees and tupelo trees. And that's where we are.
And so let's talk a little bit. So you are the first guest I've had. I typically don't have guests on who are sponsors of the show, but you are a sponsor of the show. And I just thought that not only is Honey Island Kayak Tours really interesting, but the Honey Island Swamp is interesting. So full disclosure for listeners, you are an advertiser with us, but I love you and I love the product, the tour. So
thank you so much.
I just wanted to get that out of the way. So what happens? So when you come on a tour, what do you do? Where do you go?
Yeah, so we launch from a place called the Honey Island Swamp House, which is a functioning bar. Due to COVID, it is now a restaurant. So basically a bar with some awesome bar food. We have all facilities here. So when you get here, you're provided with restrooms. You can get bottled water if you want. Also have a drink. As long as you don't drink too much, you can bring a couple of drinks with you on the tour. You're greeted here on our back patio. We start out with an introduction to all the guests, and we go over our route, what you can expect from the tour. It's super educational, very historical. You learn all about the area that we're in. We get you on the kayaks, and we take you into the swamp.
And one of the things I like is, well, today our group is five, but the groups are small, right? So for the most part, you have 10 or fewer people.
Yeah, our groups, even before COVID, we never did over 10 guests at a time. I prefer to keep the tours not so touristy. It's more small and intimate, friends hanging out on the river and the swamp together.
And that's what it felt like today. I don't know if everyone else agrees, but just kind of laid back, and Chanel was taking a bunch of pictures, and, you know, there was time to... Do I have your name right? Am I messing it up? But there was time for us just to kind of wander. You and I were trying to take pictures. I flew the drone for a while. We learned a lot, but it was pretty laid back.
Yeah, that's what I want all the guests to experience. Just you're coming into my backyard. This is my home. This is my family. And I want to invite you guys into that. And I want you to feel comfortable while you're here.
One of the things that amazed me is not only do you see the swamp and you see the cypress, and I want to get into that and the different trees that we saw, but you also see the houseboats. So there are houseboats kind of throughout the area, and that's a pretty amazing thing to see that not everyone gets to see.
Yeah, I feel like seeing our houseboats is a very unique experience, and I'm learning the term houseboat is definitely different geographically. Ours are more like shacks that are floating on the water, little fishing areas, places to hang out during the day. Yeah, you have to see them to understand exactly what they are.
Yeah, I think some of them are a little more than a shack, I think. But yeah.
Some of them get kind of fancy.
Yeah, we passed a couple that were pretty nice, I think. Yeah, and so what was interesting to me is you were saying that you basically anyone can have a houseboat and tether it with permission from the landowner to the property.
Yeah, so it's one of the last remaining places in America where you can live for free. But you had to realize that these houseboats have no road access, no electricity, no septic, no running water. So it's definitely an off-the-grid experience.
Yeah, but some of them are pretty neat. Like, it'd be a fun weekend, certainly.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a good way to spend your days.
And I should mention, so we were recording from the bar, the restaurant, and one of the things we were talking about is how unique it is in 2020 for five of us to be sitting and sharing food and having a drink together, and what a unique experience that is during COVID. And so, you know, there's plenty of space here, and they certainly have the tables spread out, and there's a big outdoor area, which is nice. But I got to say, it's just really nice to be able to spend time with people. And we don't all know each other super well, but those experiences that you just sort of took for granted before COVID, it's rare now, right? I mean, we were saying, you know, for some of us, it's been since the spring since we've done this. And one of the things about a kayak tour is it's pretty socially distanced. So we were all in our own kayaks. And so, you know, you have some natural spread, you're outdoors. So that's a really nice way to get some social engagement and some education and see something just incredibly beautiful and not have to worry about COVID so much.
Yeah, I feel like this is the perfect social distancing activity.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get out in nature and just reconnect. I feel like everybody just needs to reconnect right now. I know we had to get out of town and go hiking a couple of weeks ago just to have some normalcy and get away. And I feel like kayaking, too, is the same for other people. You know, I get to do it almost every day. So it's really good to just get out and explore.
Well, and at least for me, and certainly if anyone else wants to jump in, you may take it for granted, but it's so incredibly beautiful. So let's talk a little bit about the ecology and what you see when you're in the Honey Island Swamp.
Yeah, so what we really pride ourselves on is we go into the canopy of a 400-year-old cypress swamp. So we're just weaving through the trees in areas that bigger boats can't get into. So again, it is small and intimate, and just being in the trees like that is a big difference versus if you're on a boat, you can't really get into the thick areas that we get into. And so we get to see cypress trees, tupelo trees, throughout the year, various wildlife. When we do get to see an alligator, it's definitely a gift. It doesn't happen that often, but Like I said, what we really pride ourselves in is being in the canopy of the trees.
And we should point out, this is not the kind of swamp tour where they're feeding alligators. And instead, it's very different, and it is respecting the wildlife. And today, we didn't see any alligators, but we intentionally went around an area where a known very large alligator lives. We saw one or two snakes, because Matt is our snake expert, and
Sarah spotted the snake.
Yes,
she was the snake spotter. We just identified them.
But I would say, for anyone that hears that, snakes and alligators, and freaks out, your odds of being super close to a snake or an alligator are very small.
Yeah, and majority of the time, you wouldn't even see the snake unless your guide pointed it out. And I always tell people that would rather not see one, if we point it out, just paddle around to the other side, and that way you don't have to get close to it. Yeah. But everything's harmless, so we do allow our guests to at least get close enough to see if they would like to.
Sure. And so you mentioned two kinds of trees in passing. Let's talk a little bit about cypress trees. And in particular, you showed us a tree that is at least 400 years old and probably older.
Yeah, so we have our legacy cypress. There is this awesome man whose little pet project is going around Louisiana looking for the oldest legacy cypress in each parish. So we have parishes instead of counties. And in order to fit the legacy status, the tree had to have been alive in 1803, the time of the Louisiana Purchase. And so I got super lucky. I got to meet Mr. Harvey and asked him if he wanted to come date some trees with me. And he came out, and we were actually able to drill into this tree, take a core sample, count the rings, and we aged it to be approximately 400 years old.
Which is, I don't know about the rest of you, but that was pretty amazing. And odds are the tree is even older.
Yes.
And we saw another tree that you guys were not able to take a core sample from successfully that appears to be much older and much bigger. Even.
Yeah, something that was super special when Mr. Harvey came with me, he said, our route had a treasure trove of old growth cypress, and it was just really good to hear that. So cypress historically was lumbered. At a certain age, it becomes rot resistant and termite resistant, and so it was prized for that. It's not fire resistant, though, so New Orleans was built out of cypress twice and burnt down twice. So now cypress isn't harvested anymore, but if you had been to this part of Louisiana in 1920, it would have looked like a bomb went off from deforestation. They just clear-cut everything. But for some reason, the swamp that we went to today was overlooked. And so we've got this pristine, ancient wetland that pretty much all of Louisiana should look like today.
And I don't know about the rest of you, but it was interesting. We could often hear the sounds of the highway, Highway 59, and yet it felt like we were stepping back hundreds of years. You know, it was just five people in kayaks paddling quietly with the cypress stumps, the cypress knees all around us. And we should talk a little bit about what cypress knees are. But it was sort of just an amazingly peaceful experience, and maybe even more so set against 2020 and COVID and all the craziness, just to enjoy, you know, the five of us being out there enjoying nature and what it has for us. So tell us a little bit about what a cypress knee is.
So, yeah, that's still pretty controversial right now. So cypress knees are the tree's root system, and they actually come up out of the ground. So a lot of guests mistaken them for trees that are just now growing, or a tree that has been cut down, or a stump, but it's actually strictly a root. And so it's really cool on our route that we get to go through. We have cypress knees that are taller than humans standing. So you're just going through this root system that's almost like a cemetery with headstones. It's really neat.
Yeah, and you had said there's kind of, not scientifically proven yet, but there's some debate about what the purpose of those cypress knees are, right?
Yeah, so there's debate. Some people believe that the reason they come up out of the ground is to absorb oxygen, and other people believe that it is for stabilization and soil erosion. We are in a wetland that floods out pretty drastically. Our water levels can rise and fall 12 feet in 3 days. So these trees are just dealing with this drastic change constantly, and that root system helps anchor them in place so they can withstand the flooding.
One of the things, I have never seen cypress knees so tall. So I don't know about you guys, but right, we saw cypress knees 6-7 feet tall, well above us. And in the city, you see them, but they're tiny, right? Like right against the street, big ones might be a foot tall. But to see that again, it just kind of puts you in your place a little bit with how old these trees are and how we fit into that, right? Just an amazingly inspirational place. So I am surrounded by artists. You know, all of us have our own form of art, and being out there is really inspirational. Chanel collected some mud, some clay that's going to turn into art, and we all got plenty of photographs of it. But it is very much like stepping back in time.
It is so magical, and I just feel like I really don't have the words to describe the magic. You have to be in the trees to understand. They're ancient and majestic, and they've been here for hundreds of years. And I just think about the stories that they could tell, like what happened there and what did they get to see. And you feel it when you're in there. You feel how old everything is.
It is one of the things I would say is different than some of the other places that I have kayaked in around New Orleans, even Manchac, which is gorgeous. It really felt like we were sliding back into time and just surrounded. You mentioned redwoods while we were out, and it feels like if you've ever been to the giant redwood forest north of San Francisco, just this awesome, incredibly large. The flares are bigger. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's just an amazing space to be in. You mentioned in passing just a moment ago Tupelo. So talk a little bit about what those trees are and how they differ from the cypress.
So Tupelo is another wetland tree that we have down here. They are very fascinating. Their trunk acts like a host trunk, so it can host several different trees. So one of the Tupelos that we got to see today actually has seven separate trees growing off of the one trunk. And it's all the same tree, but it can have four trees growing off of it, three trees. It's really interesting. And then they also grow rotten. So they rot from the inside. So sometimes we'll be paddling and the tree looks normal on one side, but the other side is missing, and that's the Tupelo. That rotten inside makes an amazing habitat for beehives, and then the tree produces a little flower during the spring so the bees don't have far to travel to get what they need. So if you've ever heard of it, this is where Tupelo honey comes from, and also how the Honey Island Swamp got its name.
I didn't know that till you told us today. And of course, Elvis Presley is from Tupelo, Mississippi.
Named after the tree.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, Tupelo is a Native American word. It's Choctaw, and it basically means tree that grows in a creek. So it makes perfect sense.
It does. And, you know, once again, a tie into our past and our history, Native American history. What one of the other things that really interested me before you and I ever met was, and you guys, Matt and Chad, are the same way, your interest in, it's not enough for you to show off the swamp, but it's really important to you about preservation and threats to the swamp. So talk a little bit about some of the efforts you guys do to help preserve it. We were talking as we were out there today, it looked amazingly clean. There wasn't a ton of trash. I think you picked up four or five pieces of debris, Matt, and there was just a little bit on the banks. But that doesn't happen accidentally.
So the main river system that we're on is the Pearl River, and it is its own watershed. So it does not connect to any other river. It's its own river, and it basically drains the state of Mississippi from Jackson all the way down. And this is the floodplain down here. So we get all the water down here, and we also get all the trash down here. So several years ago, I started hosting trash cleanups, and the first year we had 8 volunteers show up, which was my mom, my dad, and my cousins. And it started to grow over the years, but we were only cleaning like 5 square miles. So we'd get it clean and the floodwaters would come in, and we realized we weren't making any progress. Well, summer of 2017, I met a lady named Abby on Instagram, and she was starting a trash initiative in Jackson, Mississippi, where the river starts. And she was also working on forming Pearl River Keeper, our first water keeper alliance. And I said, Abby, it's always been a dream of mine to clean the whole river in one day. Do you think we can do it? She said, I don't know. Let's try. So September of 2017, we had over 1,000 volunteers span 500 miles, and we picked up 36,000 pounds of trash. We just completed year 4 of the whole river cleaning together, and in those 4 years, we removed roughly 127,000 pounds of trash from the river.
That is an amazingly impressive accomplishment.
Thank you. You
could see it. I mean, we really didn't see a ton of debris, even though we're on the heels of Hurricane Zeta. And sort of an interesting thing that you showed us that I don't think any of us realized is that you could see the remnants of Hurricane Zeta in terms of the water line on the cypress trees.
Yeah, so I think the water line was roughly 2.5 feet above our heads today. So before Hurricane Zeta, our water level was at 6 feet. We jumped up to 12 feet, and now we're back down to 8 feet. So in a span of a couple of weeks, that was just the fluctuation from a hurricane.
And what would the water level be if we were out? So we were recording this in November 2020. If we had been out earlier in the year, say in the summertime, what would be the water level?
So that's really hard to say, being in the floodplain. It depends on how much rain or how much drought we have throughout the year. Typically, our water is high November to May, so around 16 feet. And then during the summer, we can drop down to 3 feet.
Wow. And a couple times today, we were drifting very gently over fallen logs and things like that. But it wasn't super shallow today.
Yeah, no. 8 feet. 8 feet's a very good water level. Sometimes when we get into the 3 feet, you're ducking under logs, jumping over logs. But that hasn't happened in 3 years. That was a major drought year. So.
Well, one of the other things you said, and you mentioned that it's a natural watershed, is that when we were out on the water, you indicated that this is a pretty healthy swamp. It's rejuvenating and it's functioning as it should.
Yeah, it is it's the epitome of what a healthy swamp should be. In order for the trees, the tupelo and the cypress to germinate, and they have to be on dry land. They cannot germinate in the water. So it is super important for a healthy swamp to drain out, which a lot of people don't realize. You need that dry spell in order for the baby trees to come up. Well, we're dealing with a lot of wetland loss in Louisiana, coastal erosion, saltwater encroachment. Cypress trees cannot handle salinity, so as the saltwater comes further in, it kills them. Well, another reason with wetland loss is people are putting in subdivisions, interstates, levees, and the swamps aren't draining like they're supposed to anymore, and so there's no new growth. Luckily, where we are, it drains like it's supposed to. So we have trees anywhere from 2 to 3 years old to 700 years old.
And that's an amazing thing. That is well worth coming out to experience. That, again, in other parts of Louisiana, other parts of sort of the greater New Orleans area, because of the things you mentioned, not taking care of the wetlands, not taking care of, or just developing and overdeveloping, you see unhealthy swamps. And here you really do. It's pretty amazing, pretty inspiring, actually, to see the difference from seeing 400 to 600-year-old trees and then seeing saplings. And I didn't know before we went out today, and I grew up in Louisiana, I didn't know that cypress trees, to be healthy, need to be dry as well as wet. So that was a new thing to me. One of the many things you learn when you come out on a tour like yours here. What do you see as threats to, so it is healthy, but what are the threats? You mentioned debris, but what else really threatens or causes you concern about the swamp and its health?
So really, saltwater encroachment. We are freshwater here on the Pearl River, but it does drain into the Gulf of Mexico. Into Lake Bourne, it becomes brackish water and the Gulf of Mexico, of course. So when our water's low, it allows saltwater to come further inland. So I do get concerned about that. We're a pretty good ways away from the Gulf of Mexico, I believe 22 nautical miles. But that's something that we're going to have to watch in the future. Another problem is, due to this awesome thing called climate change, our water levels are staying higher longer throughout the year. And that's when the river starts to change shape. And so now our water level maybe would be high for 3 months. Now it's staying high for 8 months. We're dealing with historic flooding every 3 to 5 years at this point. And so that's one of my major concerns now, too. In Jackson, where the river starts, there's a reservoir that they put in the 1950s, and they didn't really design it for flood control. And so when they get rain, they have to release all of their water. Well, of course, that means it's coming to us, and it takes a little while to reach us. So even though their water levels are back low in 2 to 3 days, we're dealing with the fallout for 3 to 4 weeks after that. And so that's a big concern. Jackson wants to build another reservoir. They're calling it the One Lake Project. It's touted as flood control, but I don't think that they understand the impact that it's having this far south. It's not just them, it's one river all together, and we really need to be able to let our water levels flow more naturally down here. And if they keep controlling it up there, I'm afraid that it's going to damage us by not letting us have the dry spells that we need.
Right, because it is a cycle, and we need the dry spells for the growth.
Yes.
Right, and the replenishment.
See you later.
Take care, Matt. Thanks, Matt. And again, Matt May from Canoe and Trail was with us today. He was one of the five of us that got out in the swamp today. So I'm glad to have spent some time with Matt. We didn't really cover how long. So when you come out for a tour, in terms of what people can expect, how long is it, and what's the physical requirements to be able to do a tour?
It's roughly 2.5 hours long, sometimes 3 hours. It depends on how much fun we're having. During the summer, we do have places where we can get out and swim, so that makes us stay out there a little bit longer. But we take different routes depending on the water level, and all of my routes are beginner-friendly, so you don't really need much experience. And with the small, intimate groups that we have, we cater to each guest experience. So if you're a little bit of a slower paddler, that's fine. I'll hang out with you. We'll slow paddle and let everybody fly in front of us. Sometimes I have fast paddlers who just want to go, which is good with me too. Every route that we have kind of has a stopping point. So if you get ahead of me, you come to a point where you're like, okay, I'm not sure which way to go, and everybody usually waits. Yeah. So again, it's beginner friendly all the time. We just want you guys to have a good experience and be leisurely, not kill your arms.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think all five of us today range from expert to very experienced. But the effort level was pretty easy, even coming back against the current, such that it wasn't terrible by any means. And we did get to sort of meander. It's neat though that you go from not super wide but somewhat wide to single file going through. Again, it just felt like traveling back through time as we got into those narrow areas, and several of us were taking photographs, and it just, I'm not sure my photography skills can capture what it's like to be back in there and just feel. On the one hand, you're connected because you can often hear, this time of year, you can hear the highway traffic, but just completely isolated. And particularly, again, I come back to 2020. I don't know about you guys. It's awful nice to just be somewhere with other human beings, not dealing with all of the crap in society at the moment, and just be able to connect with nature and with other people.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, because of COVID, things are a lot slower than I'm used to. And within the past couple of weeks, we've started to get out-of-towners again. And the other day, we had just a girl group. And it was amazing because all the girls on the tour made friends. And afterwards, they exchanged numbers. They were going down to New Orleans to do stuff together. And I haven't seen that since March. So it was just really nice to, like, reconnect.
Yeah, there is a real lack of human connection right now. And again, I think this is I don't know what the phrase is, COVID safe, COVID friendly activity, because you're outside, you're in nature, you're on your own kayak, or even if you are on a double kayak, you know, you have some distance.
There's plenty of space too. When you come back, besides the restaurant having food, they have amazing Bloody Marys if you like Bloody Marys. but you can also eat outside on the patio. We have a huge outdoor patio. We have picnic tables set up with umbrellas out in the property. So there's plenty of space. If a family wanted to come with the kids and didn't want to come inside, you could still order the food and have it brought out to you, or you could come inside and hang out with our socially distanced tables.
Yeah, and it's just a good event. It's a good way to do that. I'm laughing. We're definitely COVIDing as we are passing out hand sanitizer. That's also the mom coming out a little bit. And yeah, I would really encourage people. So the podcast, of course, is called Beyond Bourbon Street, and this is a fabulous Beyond Bourbon Street. If you've been to New Orleans a bunch, but you haven't ventured very far away from the city proper, again, within an hour, you can come out and have this really great experience. You know, it's going to take up the better part of an afternoon. You come out at 11. We sort of meandered quite a bit, and we were visiting as we were doing it, but you can come out and really experience nature and experience something that you're not going to get in the city. And again, just be one part of your vacation or one part of your experience if you've been to New Orleans a bunch.
I feel like getting out and seeing the swamps that we have here are just the true way of seeing what Louisiana is all about, especially with the houseboats that we have. Of course, you get the flair of the locals from time to time. But something that I would like to point out also is, we've talked about it, we do not feed the wildlife. We do not interact with the wildlife. We swim in this water. Our kids swim in this water. So we just keep our social distance from the alligators, which makes it a more unique experience. I feel like feeding them is just wrong. I mean, not only is it illegal, but it's when alligators lose their fear of humans. And so we just keep everything special, super eco-friendly here.
Well, and I think, so in the culinary world, and longtime listeners know that I grew up in a restaurant, there's this idea, this term of mise en place, mise en place, right? Everything in its place. And I feel like it's the same way in the swamp, that everything has its place in nature, and everything is to be respected. And that's what I like about the kayak tours, that it's not about going to see an alligator and having an alligator jump up at feeding, because it has so many sort of second and third level order problems, right? It's about respecting the environment around us and enjoying it. And again, I keep coming back to it was just so peaceful to be out there for a few hours. Again, we didn't all know each other. Some of us knew each other, some of us didn't. But just to be able to enjoy something, enjoy the beauty that this state has to offer, and to do it in a way that's very respectful of the place, right? And so Chanel is saying, undisturbed by modern life, which is really a good way to describe that. And there's something refreshing and rejuvenating about that. Maybe again, because it's through the eyes of COVID, where everything requires thought and consideration and risk assessment. But it's just so peaceful and beautiful. And so people can come out with you. By the way, we have a code, Beyond 20, and you can save a little bit of money off the ticket. But it is a great opportunity for friends, for strangers. Again, we didn't all know each other, to come out with a small group. You mentioned you have a large international clientele. But if you're somebody this morning in our Facebook group was posting, I've been to New Orleans a bunch, I just want to get away. What if I could come for a day? What could I do that was unique? This would be a really unique thing. Right? It's so close. You could fly in for the day and come do this and have a nice meal. Whether you eat here, you go back in the city and have a nice meal.
Yeah, our location's kind of its own little destination, too. We have everything here that you could need in a pristine cypress swamp.
And
can't go wrong.
That's so unique, right? You could fly back home and tell this amazing story. So again, Jessica, I just want to say thank you so much for taking me out on the tour. I feel blessed to be able to spend some time in the swamp this morning and just to share not only the history and the ecology of the Honey Island Swamp, but also a really accessible way for people to experience it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so happy I finally got to take you out with me.
Me too. It won't be the last time. I also, again, I will put it in the show notes, but Chanel and Jessica's, I was going to say jobs, passions, businesses, right?
Sarah and Chanel.
Did I screw
say
that
Jessica
up again?
God,
I'm so sorry. Well, maybe we'll edit that out. Maybe we won't. Maybe it's the couple of beers, as well as Matt May. But we will put links in the show notes, which will be over at beyondbourbonst.com.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.